5-4-3-2. You're listening to The Public Eye right here on 90.5 WICN, Jazz Plus for New England. You can follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Listen online at WICN.org. Good evening, I'm Al Vona, host of The Public Eye. Nice to have you with us this Sunday evening. Vaping has become a big issue in this country lately. In fact, a couple of deaths that many believe are related to vaping have certainly come full circle. But the intent of vaping, at least as I understand it, is that it was supposed to help those with tobacco addiction, hopefully wean them off of actual cigarettes. And that's still a question mark in all of that. But joining me as my guest this week is Julie Gunlock. She's the director for the Center for Progress and Innovation at the Independent Women's Forum in Washington, D.C., and a woman who's really had this on her radar screen for quite a while now. And for the next half hour, we'll be talking with Julie and getting her input on this issue. Julie, am I putting it out there straight that vaping was from the outset something that was supposed to help people with tobacco addictions, but now we're hitting a wall?
Look, I think, yes, you're correct that vaping certainly can help people switch from traditional combustible, much more dangerous, cancer-causing cigarettes to a product, e-cigarettes, that are 95% less harmful. So, yes, the intention certainly, and the inventor of the e-cigarette certainly wanted to find a safer nicotine delivery system. But your second point saying, but it's not turned out that way, is not true. What we're seeing out there is a lot of misinformation and a lot of hysteria about a product that is still incredibly helpful and useful and really offers the promise. I think it's probably the most amazing public health victory that we've seen in certainly my lifetime, and I think in several generations, because this product has already helped millions of smokers quit or at least switch to vaping, which again is safer. And so we really need to get a handle on what we're seeing here with these deaths. So often they are couched as vaping-related deaths. They have nothing to do. These deaths have nothing to do with the actual e-cigarette device. They have nothing to do with FDA-approved vape liquids that are currently in the marketplace and are regulated and safety-tested. What these deaths are related to is illegal THC-tainted liquid, probably made in someone's bathtub and sold on the streets. It is a black market, a thriving black market out there. People should not be buying illegal THC-laced products. And unfortunately, what the public health industry is doing is conflating e-cigarettes with these illegal black market products. And so you're getting, look, there's vaping-related deaths. No. This has to do, again, as I said, with vape liquid that is not regulated, which is not approved. It comes from China. It's made here locally, and you know, like I said, in a bathtub. That you should not be vaping. You should also not be vaping other liquids like lemonade and liquor and Kool-Aid. You need to go to FDA approved products that are sold in retail stores. So I want to reassure the public, and I want to reassure your listeners, that vaping is a wonderful innovation that can really help lengthen and improve the lifetime, certainly of smokers, and really help them, and in many cases, wean off tobacco altogether.
And twice now, you mentioned that, I wanted to clarify that this didn't just come on the market on a Monday. This needed to go by the FDA, did it not?
Absolutely. I mean, these are products that are sold in retail shops in the United States, and you can't just, you know, it's funny. I I'm a mom of three kids. I've got a middle schooler who is seeing, you know, he's seeing vaping, and I'm concerned about it too. I am concerned about vaping as well, and that is why I researched it. And look, I'm paid to research these things. I get it. Why my neighbor across the street who has a middle schooler is completely freaked out and remains freaked out because she's listening to the mainstream media and she's listening to public health officials who are lying to her in my research, finding that it is safer and finding that it's a real promise to help smokers, that's really reassured me. I think, you know, one thing your listeners, and if you're interested in talking about the idea that there's this teen vaping epidemic, that's something that is a creation of public health officials and of the media to stoke hysteria about this. There really aren't that many teens that are habitually vaping. And I think if people knew that, they would sort of feel better and understand that maybe this is one of those things that people are told to be really, really nervous about, but the data doesn't back that up.
And just like you said, I've heard some of the same things. I've got a girl in high school. She sees it all day long.
Sure.
But neighbors are saying the same thing. Oh, my God, you know, this thing was supposed to be safe, and look what it's doing. It's ruining kids. They're dying. And this thing just snowballs. Let me go back to something else. There's also talk, and it might have something to do with what you just said, this start of hysteria, vaping bans. Is this something that is being talked about with Congress? I mean,
absolutely. You have Mitt Romney, you know, great conservative, you know, who's introduced legislation to add some regulatory, well, actually add some bans and add some, make it really tough for people to get their products. And we have to understand, you know, what you hear a lot about is, and again, you're right. Look, Michigan has already banned flavored liquid. Illinois has a ban pending. Many other states and localities are banning things. And then you have things like, you know, they're banning it on college banning vaping on college campuses and banning vaping here and there. So it's sort of a death by a thousand cuts as you know, this is a standard way in which regulators will kill an industry. They'll just pick at it and pick at it and pick at it. Why this is so bad is particularly when you talk about the flavors. There's this narrative out there that the only reason these flavors, these fruit and sweet flavors exist, you know, it's sort of the narrative is, oh, you know, it's all nefarious. It's these companies. It's the way these companies attract youth who love the bubblegum flavors and the, you know, fruit flavors. Well, actually, they've done some research on this, and they have found that the most popular flavors with adults are those fruit and sweet flavored vape liquids. And so this is why it's so tragic. You know the line, oh, we have to, you know, we have to ban it or we have to stop it for the children, right? If we could save one life. Well, they're using that kind of thought process on the sweet flavor, saying, well, we have to stop kids from getting from using these e-cigarettes, and the reason they're using them is these sweet flavors. That's not true. A lot of former smokers, it's interesting. I talked to a former smoker. I just did a podcast last week with a former smoker, and she said what's so interesting is that after 30 years of smoking, her taste buds were completely wiped out, completely dead. After a couple weeks of vaping, her taste buds seemed to have come back alive, and she started to enjoy other flavors besides tobacco. And she said, now I've been vaping peach-flavored vape liquid for about 7 years. She said it's her favorite. And if they got rid of that peach flavor, she would, because what they want to do is they want to get rid of all the flavors.
Right.
And so what are people going to do? Why would you vape? So she said, you know, I fear I'd go back to smoking tobacco or the actual cigarette. So it's a real tragedy. And we need to remember that banning these things will only grow a black market. And the black market is what's causing these deaths. So it seems it's not just worrisome that they could force people back to smoking. It scares me that it'll actually result in more deaths and injuries.
Well, it's something else that you just touched upon, and I remember, and I'm sure you do too, especially when all the news came out, all the research was confirmed that tobacco, cigarettes are certainly a major cause of lung cancer.
Yeah.
Everybody went, oh my God. And now I'm thinking, okay, if vaping is going to be banned, if that should ever take place, people are going to revert back to cigarettes, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's really important to remember, it's not just me saying vaping and e-cigarettes are 95% safer. It is Public Health England and the Royal College of Physicians. And even the FDA here in the United States, and the FDA is filled with public health officials who can't stand the sight of, and it's important to say, they just don't like the look of vaping. Vaping mimics smoking. It looks like smoking.
Right.
And it always gives these nanny state public health officials the willies when they see someone vaping. That's why they hate it. But what they have reluctantly admitted, yes, it's safer, and yes, it's preferable to cigarettes, but they just sort of hate the look of it. In Europe, there isn't that sort of distasteful sort of reaction to vaping. And so in England, doctors actually urge their patients to switch to vaping. But we have a real problem. We have sort of this knee-jerk prohibitionist kind of attitude about things here in the United States. And we have a public health sector who literally hates joy and happiness and anything that brings pleasure. And so you see a lot of this with alcohol, for instance. The public health sector constantly exaggerates our alcohol consumption habits here in the United States. And it's to harm the alcohol industry. They constantly do this. Alcohol consumption has been declining. Public health constantly says, oh, we're all alcoholics and we're all going to die of liver disease. It's actually not true. We see it with food. They're constantly saying, oh, you know, we got to, you know, meatless Monday, and we got to cut down our food consumption, and, you know, nothing with sugar is allowed. So this is the kind of attitude we have in this United States. And look, it's one thing to say, ah, Doritos are bad. I don't really care. But when you're doing that about a product and actually can help people move off cigarettes, that's actually going to kill people.
Right. I want to continue in that vein, but I just want to take a quick pause to let folks know that they're listening to 90.5 WICN, Jazz Plus for New England. You can listen to us online at WICN.org. I'm Al Vona, host of The Public Eye. My guest this week is Julie Gunlock, the director for the Center for Progress and Innovation at the Independent Women's Forum. She feels very strongly that vaping is not the demon that so many people have been making it out to be, but as Julie has talked about, it's the liquid, the tainted liquids used in vaping apparatus that's causing some of the deaths. But Julie, going back to something that you just said, what bothers me, what would turn my stomach, and I think you'd feel the same way, is that some legislator saying, well, you know, I'm coming up for re-election, or this is going to you know, I need something.
Right.
If I can be the poster boy or girl and ban vaping or get this thing movement, I'll be a hero and I'll get reelected. Is that what's kind of going on here?
Absolutely, absolutely. You nailed it. And look, let's think about particularly for conservatives and particularly for President Trump, who's his problem demographic, right? It's women. It's women my age, right, who are raising kids. These are the same exact women who are very, very concerned about vaping. And the reason they're concerned about vaping is they're told that there is, and honestly, you have FDA officials who lie to the American people and who will say things like there is a teen vaping epidemic. First of all, let's discuss the word epidemic. It is a word, if I could remove any word from the English language, it would be epidemic, because it is so overused by public health officials. There is no epidemic of teen smoking, and I'm just going to very quickly go into the data on that. When you look at the CDC data, the CDC in their data research, in their research on this, in their polling on this, they would go and speak to, you know, 20,000 high school students. I'm not sure of the exact number, but it's significant, okay? It's a significant number of people that they polled. And they would ask these teenagers, have you vaped in the last 30 days? Okay, it's important to understand the wording of that question. Have you vaped in the last 30 days? That means if you vaped once, like you were at a party, you want to look cool, so you take a puff off an e-cigarette, they would put you in the bucket of teenagers who vape, okay? Well, look, I was a teenager. I tried a lot of things that did not become a habit, okay? For instance, I tried smoking in high school, and it never became a habit for me, okay? And so they put that, so it looks like that number is very high. In reality, only about 5%, now this is, you have to go to the asterisk of the asterisk of the asterisk to find this information in the CDC data, which again, I'm paid to do this. I'm paid to take a microscope out and look at the teeny, teeny print in the CDC data, okay? When you look at that fine print, it turns out it's only like 5% of teens who smoke habitually. Those are that's the problem area. That's the kids 5% of all high school students is not an epidemic. What's even more encouraging is of that 5%, the CDC did not determine if those kids were vaping were vaping liquid with nicotine or without nicotine. You can actually buy nicotine-free vape juice. And so the point is that those kids who are smoking or vaping the nicotine-free vape liquid, they're not subject to addiction because there's no nicotine. Lastly, I'll say this. In the CDC data, of that 5%, they put things like hookahs, marijuana, cigars, pipes, and e-cigarettes all in the same bucket. So some of those kids who say they're vaping could actually have been smoking marijuana or right. smoking a hookah or doing something else. So my point is that 5% is even less in terms of addiction to nicotine. So this is not an epidemic. Certainly public health officials can concentrate on that 5%, but to tell a mom that everybody's vaping, every kid is vaping, is an absolute lie. And what it does is it contributes to the hysteria about vaping, and it strengthens the argument that we have to ban this for everyone to avoid this epidemic. Well, there really isn't an epidemic. And when you do that at the same time of ignoring the incredible hope this gives cigarette smokers to actually switch to a safer product, that's when it becomes, again, a policy that can lead to death. Right. The FDA currently has blood on their hands. They are really hurting the American public, and they are causing an actually worse public health disaster by preventing people from getting these safer products.
Julie, let me go on a limb here. For many years, for decades in this country, tobacco companies, tobacco growers made vast sums of money and profit by packaging, making it look cool. I mean, you talked about, when you and I went to high school, I can remember the front steps of my high school in the city of Worcester here in central Massachusetts, hundreds before school started, during break, lunchtime, yep. smoking cigarettes. That right. seems to have dissipated. But let me ask you, the tobacco industry and the people who produce cigarettes have taken a hit. The negative publicity over the last few decades has certainly eroded their base. What role do they play in any of this?
Well, I'll tell you this. I hear a lot of that. I hear this, this anti-vaping campaigns, it's all from the big tobacco companies.
Right.
Look, all the big tobacco companies are developing e-cigarette devices. Okay. Now, Juul, what started as a tech company, Juul was not a tobacco company. They discovered this. The founders of Juul sort of found this device. It looks like a USB cord. Device. It's very cool looking, which is why, look, teens don't like Juul because it works better. Teens like Juul because it's cool, and teens like cool looking things, and it is cool. And Juul isn't popular with teens. It's popular with everyone because it is a cool product. But the bottom line is that the big tobacco companies have seen the success of Juul and are all following suit. So big tobacco companies also care that vaping continues in the marketplace. Mm-hmm. Most of these tobacco companies want to switch entirely over to e-cigarettes. I think they want to phase out cigarettes.
Okay.
And they want to go too. What if we're looking for who's running this campaign, we need to look at let's look at the governor of Michigan who just banned vaping products. But guess what she didn't ban? She didn't ban cigarettes. And you know why? She gets a ton of money from cigarette taxes. So if we're going to talk about who's generating this anti-vaping campaign, it is the states who sicken me because they ban these safer products, but they don't ban cigarettes. And so people can go into a 7-Eleven and buy a cigarette. They can't buy the vape juice that they want. And that state is going to continue to get billions of dollars in cigarette tax. That's the real conspiracy we need to be talking about.
And that's the heart of, as I'm listening to you this evening, that's the heart of the whole thing. These legislators are putting forth an agenda, as you said, if vaping is indeed harmless, banning that. But the public, Julie, here's the part that I'm sure frustrates you as much as it frustrates me. The public never realizes that coming in the back door is vast sums of money, either to the state coffers or into campaign funds. I'm going to go out and say what it is.
It's absolutely, they're lining their pockets. And also, let's remember, a lot of these Democrat mayors and governors can't balance a budget to save their life, can't control their spending. And this is the problem with so many of these sin tax campaigns, right? You end up having major statewide policies and programs tied to funding for a product that's harmful. And so when you see a decline, and for instance, teen smoking, like cigarette smoking, is at a historic low. Smoking in general has declined precipitously every year, and that is partly because of vaping. And so you've got these crisis, statewide crisis, where their programs are not funded. So you want to know why they're getting rid of vaping? Because it competes with cigarette smoking and is the cause of the decline of cigarette smoking, which is the reason that they get so billions of dollars in tax revenue. That is so sick to me that these governors would ban a product that's safer for their communities in order to gain more tax revenue. That's a real scary reality, but it's happening.
But you know what else scares me is, if as you talked about, from the top down, if it's a governor of a particular state, then that means that everyone under him or her, including the state legislature, is on board with this.
Oh, absolutely.
So it can't be, in other words, it's going nowhere. If the ban is put in place, everybody's on board with it. So the public has no say.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. And one thing we have to remember is they're all in it together, right? Because politicians see it as a winning issue. Even Donald Trump, even President Trump got up there standing next to Melania, right, the first lady, saying, and it is driven. I mean, Melania has been public about this. She is a, I just wrote an article about this, and my first line is, the normally silent Melania Trump came out and actually spoke out against an issue. That's unbelievable. That tells you how important it is to the First Lady, which is sad because I think they're woefully misinformed. But I think Trump is an incredibly smart politician, and I think he sees this as a way to women's hearts. You got a lot of women who don't know a lot about this issue, very freaked out about it, totally buying the CDC line that this is a public health emergency and an epidemic for teens. And so this is a winning issue for him. So what's so sad is the vapors, the e-cigarette smokers in this country, and the former smokers in this country, and the smokers who want to quit are really, really facing truly a life and death issue here. And I really hope the president listens, and legislators and governors and city officials listen to these people who have found a way, finally, to kick a deadly habit. This is really, we need to listen to these people who have millions, and the stories are unbelievable. People, you know, two pack a day, three pack a day, and then finally finding some peace and the ability, the strength, the device they need to quit smoking. So we need to listen to those people.
Well, here's the other side of it, though. As you said, there's all the naysayers, but if indeed the FDA gave its stamp of approval, where are they on this?
Why? The FDA actually does recognize. Scott Gottlieb, who was President Trump's appointee to the FDA when Trump was first elected, people had great hopes for him. Conservatives liked him, particularly on the health care issue, on Obamacare. He was an absolute disaster on this issue. He totally bought the anti-vaping line, hook, line, and sinker. He was immediately started scaring people about vaping. He's the one who really began this whole narrative that it's an epidemic, ignoring the actual CDC data and allowing the CDC to sort of spread these, you know, the suggestion that it's an epidemic, when if you vaped once in a month, you're a vapor. It's absolutely ludicrous. So Scott Gottlieb really started this hysteria and got this going. He definitely became influenced by these anti-tobacco organizations, who, by the way, these anti-tobacco organizations who are leading the fight against vaping, guess where they get their money? They are funded by the cigarette taxes. So their entire existence depends on cigarette taxes continuing to flow into these states, like the Center for Tobacco-Free Kids. These organizations are absolutely horrible, and they're the ones who started with these posters saying, oh, vaping is so bad, oh, teens are in danger. I mean, they're the ones who actually marketed. I mean, it was like free advertising for Juul and for other companies. So it's really is kind of a really nasty network of people who are against vaping products. And again, the people who are ultimately going to lose in this are the people who are in danger of lung cancer and heart disease because they're current smokers.
In the few moments that we have left, I've got to ask, because you mentioned it a number of times now, that this is resonating with female voters, especially, you know, those who have children, you know, middle-aged school children, high school-aged children, just children in general.
Yeah.
So is this going to come down? Will they be making the decision on this as we go into another election?
Well, look, I think there's a real effort now to get more information out there. I think vapors and e-cigarette users and people who care about these issues and care about smokers quitting are really much more active and vocal on this.
Okay.
I mean, it's gotten so bad that the woman that I did a podcast with, she runs a brick-and-mortar e-cigarette company. Her employees are getting harassed. I mean, this is getting insane.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, you've got legislators who are like, "Hey, pot's great. Let's legalize pot. Oh, yay, pot!" Right? I mean, it is. We live in seriously weird times. So I think this issue is getting more attention, and hopefully, people are more educated on the issue.
It's funny. It's ironic because that was in the back of my mind. But we're legalizing something that used to put you and me in jail for a small nickel bag. You know, $5 bag.
I feel like I'm living in the twilight.
It is quite controversial, to say the least. Julie, this is going to become one of the major defining issues in the upcoming election. So people really need to get up to speed on things. So I know your organization, like as you said, each of you focuses on some very pertinent information as well as issues like this. If they want to get more information about vaping and the research you've been doing, how can they do that?
Well, we're at IWF.org, and I got to say, IWF is wonderful. I get to write on things that I personally care about. I mean, obviously, the organization likes to focus on certain free market issues, but I care about this issue so deeply. I'm a mom. I'm a mom of a middle schooler and some younger children. I will tell you, this is important to me. This is a passion issue for me. I care deeply about about smokers. I had relatives that I love dearly that smoked their whole lives and died of smoking-related diseases. So this is important. IWF.org, we've done a ton of work on it.
Yeah, and it's funny you said that because as you were talking, I'm thinking the same thing. I lost a couple of grandparents, a couple of uncles, chain smokers, two, three packs a day.
Oh, yes.
And the outcry toward the end was, get this off the market. And now, as you said, if this product is safe, if this product is the link to get people from tobacco, onto something safer, then what's going on here?
This is the problem?
Yeah,
right.
It really is. And I think, as I said earlier, I think it's going to become quite controversial as we get down to the wire with the election.
Yeah.
But a great issue. And, you're so well versed on this. So that's why I wanted to have you on and talk about the so-called vaping bans that many people are calling for, because that's what it's going to come down to. There's going to be a lot of talk about that.
When I talk about this issue, I barely breathe. I so you're right. I do feel passionate about it.
Well, thank God somebody does. We want the information. Throw it out there and then let the public make a rational decision. But one side or the other is not rational thinking. It's just something's being forced down your throat, and that's not how it should be.
Yeah.
But the issue. Vaping bans and the safety regarding vaping. My guest this week has been Julie Gunlock, the director for the Center for Progress and Innovation at the Independent Women's Forum. She's been monitoring this very closely, and by all signs, we'll be monitoring this very closely as we go forward. Any questions about the broadcast, you can certainly give us a call here at the studios at WICN. Our main number is 508-752-0700. You can email me with any comments, questions, or feedback. I certainly welcome that. That's Al Vona, V-U-O-N-A, at WICN.org. For the public eye, this is Al Vona.